taking a look here at 7:30, 7:31 on the morning show. You may have heard this. There's actually so many issues that we want to talk about with our next guest relating to Latino politics and political season as we move forward right now. But this is a story from the Huffington Post Latino Voices website. A Latino group encourages Hispanic voters to oppose Democrats in key swing states. And just reading from it quickly, a major Latino organization announced plans on Tuesday to encourage Hispanic voters to think twice before casting a ballot for four Democratic senators currently seeking re-election in key swing states. The group is called Presente Action. They issued a statement Tuesday to say it would target four Democrats who the group says have opposed immigration reform. The group cited the senator's support for a procedural vote held last week that the group says amounted to a vote against expanded deportation relief for undocumented immigrants. That piece is written by Roque Planas, who's the editor at the Huffington Post Latino Voices. He's written extensively about Latin America and U.S. Latino politics for a number of publications, and he currently sits on the board of NACLA, the North American Congress on Latin America, which is one of our partner institutions working with us here on the Friday morning show and on WBAI as we move forward in these months ahead. And Roque, it's great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us in studio here in Harlem to talk about some of these issues. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
First, before we get into that story, I want to just shed light on the Latino Voices column, website, blog. How would you call it within the Huffington Post? Because it's a great resource.
Thank you. Yeah, within the Huffington Post, we would be considered a vertical. We're one of the main sections of the website. We feature both voices from the community on our blog, and then we also cover Latino politics and entertainment and some sort of lighter issues as well. And we work very closely with the politics team and other different teams throughout the Huffington Post and feature work that gets done in D.C. and throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. So this story that, again, you wrote earlier in the week, focusing on these four races and obviously a lot of national attention is being directed towards the Senate campaign as we move forward. What's the significance? This organization basically saying we shouldn't lobby or organize or vote for these four Democrats.
Exactly. This to me was a very significant story. Just to give the background of what happened, Obama had promised twice that he was going to expand relief for deportation for undocumented immigrants, an expansion of a program that he already has called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals that basically allows the groups called Dreamers or people brought here as children to stay in the country for a renewable two-year period. He promised this twice and has pushed back the deadline twice. And the last time that he did it, the White House cited concerns that opening up the immigration debate would hurt the Democrats as they moved into these highly contested Senate races. This was a decision that was received very poorly across the board in the Latino community, because Latino voters, regardless of ideology, tend to support immigration reform with the pathway to citizenship. It's a big issue in our community. And so this group, what they're doing is actually trying to oppose four senators who took a vote on last week that this group says basically amounted to a rejection of the Deferred Action Program and the expansion of executive action on immigration.
So they haven't necessarily been against some kind of immigration reform, but they're kind of stepping in to tell Obama not to move on this for their own backs.
Exactly.
Who are these senators?
The names are in the articles, right? But the senators are from New Hampshire. They're Democratic senators from New Hampshire, North Carolina, Arkansas, and Louisiana. And these are senators who did support the comprehensive immigration bill that was passed by the Senate. So it's important to underline that they haven't always opposed immigration reform. But over the course of the summer, when we had the child migrant crisis, that pushed a lot of people to become much more conservative on immigration, take a much more hardline approach. And these four Democrats, who are apparently vulnerable to challenges within their states on immigration, appeared to sort of take more of a conservative hardline approach in this particular instance.
Yeah, and these are all in states that are pretty contested. Certainly North Carolina, Louisiana, and Arkansas are very close races. So these are clearly going to impact or potentially impact these senators. Any thoughts on that, about how this might turn out, given the pullback from the Latino support base?
I think certainly this is something that would worry Democratic strategists, right? Because the Latino community in all these places is very small, but it's growing. And in places like North Carolina, Latino voters could actually be the margin of victory for these candidates, right? So it's really significant, and I think the message that it's sending, and I think Democrats are very worried about this, is that Latino votes can't be taken for granted. Mm-hmm. There's a big debate right now in the Latino community, given the way that a lot of politicians have reacted to immigration reform, is should Latinos even vote at all?
Yeah, I think it's a tragedy that a tragic situation like the refugee crisis that we saw unfolding in the summer and earlier, because it was not something that suddenly happened. It just started suddenly getting a lot more attention when the numbers increased. Instead of looking at that as a humanitarian crisis that needed to be addressed, it forced people, including many Democrats, and in many ways we can point the finger all the way to the top, the White House, stepping back and saying, well, this is why we have to be even tougher now and you know, build a, you know, hire more border patrol and do more of that, as opposed to addressing it as a humanitarian crisis. How does this play with Obama? I mean, I think he's lost considerable support, certainly in this last year, but the fact that nothing has moved on immigration, this is, you know, not looking well. What's your sense in terms of the support that Obama at this point in time has with some of the grassroots and other areas of the Latino national organizing?
There's no doubt that Latino voters from the grassroots and all the way up to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus are extremely frustrated with Obama. And I think that one of the things that really happened here, too, is that you had a situation in which children were being painted as a security threat. And that was what was used to derail the immigration debate. Exactly. I mean, this is, I think, regardless of what part of the political spectrum you sit on, that was shameful. And I think people, particularly in the grassroots, are very frustrated with this. And I think what Obama's strategy and the White House strategy is to sort of deal with the frustration up until November and then try to expand deportation relief after the elections and see if they can, you know, sort of make up for the damage that they did.
What's the likelihood of that, of post-election, especially if the Senate turns to the Republicans, that Obama is going to successfully be able to nudge them towards some kind of immigration reform before he leaves office?
I think it's quite likely that he will actually enact the executive reforms that he's talking about doing.
The legislation is pretty much out the window.
The legislation is dead. And mm-hmm. the question that sort of looms, right, is can he actually bring back the level of trust? I mean, these people, you have to remember that all this activists and grassroots organizations and even more mainstream politicians and so forth, these people helped put Obama in office in 2008. And maybe with less enthusiasm also in 2012. So it's really hard to underestimate the amount of frustration and lack of trust that they feel now. So the big question is going to be, as whoever becomes a Democratic candidate in 2016, can they fix this damage and can they seem like someone that Latino voters can trust on this issue?
Roque Planas is editor at the Huffington Post Latino Voices. He's written extensively about Latin America and U.S. Latino politics, and he's on the board of NACLA, the North American Congress on Latin America, which is, of course, found on the web, nacla.org, as well as their publication, which you can find out more about on their website. His recent reporting has covered the pressure on the Obama administration to review deportation relief. He's a lame duck he's already a lame duck pretty much, but certainly after these elections in November, which brings us to the Democratic and Republican fight for the nomination process leading to 2016. Hillary Clinton is the one that's already been kind of, you know, she'd been already blessed as the sure nominee. Her perspective and her position on it is even more hardline than Obama, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we saw, and we still have yet to see extensive statements from Hillary Clinton on what she's going to do with immigration, but she did come out immediately after the child migrant crisis happened and sort of said in a blanket kind of way that what the U.S. had to do was help Mexico militarize its southern border and to send these children from Central America back. There's a lot of problems with that statement because while it is important to crack down on a human trafficking network that is facilitating this mass migration of children, you can't just say in a blanket way that you have to send these children back. Almost all of them have been victims of human trafficking. Many of them have credible asylum claims, and a lot of them are facing that without court in deportation proceedings. Without a lawyer in court, in deportation proceedings that are being rushed through the docket. Mm-hmm. This is not a fair way to deal with those children. Those children, many of them will have the right to stay by U.S. law. And then the other thing is when you start talking about militarizing the southern border, which politicians in the United States are increasingly doing, I mean, you're talking about pumping even more money into a military that has been committing torture, rape, and extrajudicial killings of civilians. Well documented, this is not a secret. To militarize a border, to criminalize migration, which the Mexican state looks at as much less of a criminal act than the United States does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's the thing that's really tragic about it is that it's been painted exactly that as this is an example of our weak borders, our porous borders, and Obama's inability. This is obviously the Republican line, Obama's inability to protect our borders. And meanwhile, these kids aren't coming in trying to hide and sneak into the country. They're seeking asylum. They're seeking refugee status from a very complicated series of conditions that they're living, that they're fleeing in their countries, which is unprecedented to see this kind of reaction from the political establishment. And Hillary Clinton, I guess, will be business as usual with this issue as well.
Yeah, and it remains to be seen how she's going to handle things. You know, but one of the things that she's given the impression of in her early interviews is that she does have a more, I wouldn't call it a hardline policy, but certainly much more hardline than Obama has been in his public statements about this issue.
So are there any other candidates or potential candidates out there that you see in your reporting that Latino civil rights organizations and immigrant rights organizations and other folks, even political leaders, might be willing to embrace? This stage, it's still a little early, but at this stage?
Yeah, I've heard people bat around names like Elizabeth Warren and O'Malley in Maryland, and I think it's interesting to see who people are going to embrace. Mm-hmm. I think we really have to start to see which way the primary goes, because at this point it just looks like so many people are lining up behind Hillary Clinton. It's hard to imagine that she's going to have a credible challenge from anyone with or without Latino support.
The other issue that doesn't raise much attention is U.S. policy towards Latin America, not only the immigration policy, which is completely broken, but its policy towards countries like Mexico and then Central America. Obviously, it's at war on drugs in Latin America, and its development and economic policies throughout the hemisphere. That won't get into the national debate when the election season comes along, but could you make any connections in your reporting about this U.S. Latin America policy, say, towards Venezuela, for example, and its political implications here at home?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with Venezuela, I've worked a little bit less, but the connections between the child migrant crisis and U.S. policy are so completely direct. In the 1950s, you have the start of overthrowing a modern period of overthrowing democratically elected regimes, starting with Guatemala. You have state-sponsored violence being supported by the United States. Later on, you have the expansion of the drug war. Later on, you have, and through this entire period, right, you have U.S. economic policy privileging U.S. economic interests at the expense of Central American economic interests, principally agriculture, right? So there's a reason why people can't get work in their own countries. There's a reason why people are facing violence in their countries. There's a reason why it's Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras that are sending the migrants, right? Because in neighboring Nicaragua and Costa Rica, the United States never supported governments that systematically use state-sponsored violence against their own people. So I think the connections there are clear. When we've written about it, the articles have gone viral. There's an audience for it, and it's something that needs to be part of the national debate.
Yeah, we have to keep drawing attention to it. Roque, hopefully you'll join us again and as we continue covering these stories, especially as we get closer to the campaign season. I'm still reluctant to even call it a campaign season because it becomes this big circus, but we will pay attention to it, and I appreciate you coming up this morning on WBAI.
Absolutely, my great pleasure.
Roque Planas is the editor at the Huffington Post Latino Voices, a great source for information about a whole array of issues, and he's also written about Latin America and Latino politics for a number of other publications. He currently sits on the board of directors, I guess it's the editorial board or the board of directors,
of
the NACLA, North American Congress on Latin America. NACLA is one of our partner organizations right here on WBAI.